Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Mention inside. My liver's all twisted up. But you know what I did? I took Deborah, went to the liquor store. I loaded up with alcohol, more specifically vodka, whiskey, beer, tequila, more beer, more vodka, more whiskey, and more beer.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
You know what happens to me a lot? Something happens to me a lot.
Yeah.
Somebody sends you a text or a tweet with an emoji in it, and I can't figure out what the emoji is. Like, in a tweet, sometimes, depending on what device you're using, you can scroll over it, and it will tell you. But there are a couple that I've seen a few times recently, and I just cannot figure out.
Yeah.
Because you need to know that to really understand the message. Is it something ironic?
You need to know the tone of the message.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what is this person actually saying? I have a text today.
Yeah, a lot of the faces with the winks and the stuff.
Yes.
They look very much the same, and I'm not like always sure exactly. Like the big eyes. Okay, that's easy. You know, that's oh my God.
Yep.
Right. But the rest of them are a little dicey. Like even I'll be thinking to send my wife one, and like I don't know what do I want. Is this guy winking? Is he mad? I can't tell for sure. Like my eyes aren't very good either.
That's yeah, winking already can mean different things.
Right.
Yeah, but you wouldn't be mad if you're winking. You're saying there's different kinds of winks?
I'm saying if you're mad at someone but you don't want them to know that, maybe you would say something and then wink.
Right.
Winking in and of itself can be
dangerous,
confusing.
There are different faces with winks.
Dangerous game.
There are different winks.
There are different winks.
Just different. I think you would take... I'll stop. There's a few different ones, and I'm never sure exactly which ones mean what, which is the point of this, I think. Yeah, I don't know. What are you trying to tell me here?
Oh, yeah, because there's also the wink with the tongue stuck out.
Right,
there's the,
right.
Yeah, you're right. There is a couple different winks
here. Yeah. So,
there's a double wink, which is just kind of eyes closed, I guess.
Right.
I got one today that is not a wink because both eyes are open and looking the same way, like off to the side. And then the smile is like curled up to the side. But, you know, it's not like a toothy smile. It's just like a curled to the side. Kind of like this face.
Uh-huh. Right.
But what does that mean? What kind of face is that?
Right. I don't know. There's a couple of the sad ones. At least I think they're sad that I'm not really sure.
Maybe it means like I'm sort of half kidding.
Yeah.
Or half happy or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is that even a phrase you've ever used in your life? Half happy? I don't know. I don't like not knowing, and then I also don't like asking the person to translate for me.
No, you can't do that.
You can't do that.
Right.
So I'm asking you. I'll have to ask someone else, a third party.
Okay, here's a question. What's the upside down smiley face? What the hell is that supposed to represent?
Yeah, Joe.
I'm so happy.
You're 24.
I'm tipped upside down. What is that? What is that?
I've seen that one. I've never used it. The upside down smiley face?
Yeah. I'm just looking
What's
through.
The point?
I'm looking at mine right now, and like I don't know what am I supposed to do with that?
What is the point, Joe?
And there's like it looks like there's like six that are sort of sleepy-eyed, sort of eyes almost closed. I can't differentiate one from the other.
That's like, what I'm talking
I
about.
Have
with
no
this,
no idea what's going on.
Well, I think some of those would mean the same thing. I'm having a little bit of trouble with the upside down smiley face. I think you might need some context here.
Yeah. Maybe that
might not be able to tell you.
I'm just flabbergasted.
Yeah.
I'm happy, but I shouldn't be. Could be that.
You're taking it more literally there. Maybe I'm upside
literally,
down
yes.
about this. I'm turned over. I'm not sure.
Right.
I want to like it, but
I
don't.
Right.
My face is upside down. That's how I convey that.
Right.
I want. All right, NFL picks.
Well, yeah, let's.
2019, what's the score?
I have no earthly idea.
Fine, we'll start over. 15, 16 years in, we're tied.
I think we're even. I don't know.
Fine.
I don't remember.
Let's go.
What if I did do it? Even though I admit to nothing and never will. What does that make me? And I'm not here just defending myself, but all those pickers out there who've been caught. Each and every one of them. who has to suffer the shame and humiliation because of people like you.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Are we not human? If we pick, do we not bleed?
On WGR.
I am not an animal.
Sports Radio 550.
You won last year, so you should go first. Okay. I won in 2005, I think.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. I don't know. We really did lose the plot with this thing last year around holiday time at the end of the season. Like, we just completely
Year? Last year?
last year especially.
Remember there was 1 year we just stopped doing them?
Yeah.
One year.
To see if anyone would notice.
1 year Greg Bauk was doing updates on the website, and he was so sure no one cared, and we always sort of, you know, like, supported that he put his bank card PIN number on the article.
Right. Yep.
Just because he knew no one would look at it.
Right.
That might still be out there.
Yeah.
On the internet. That might still be out there.
Well, I'll have a rip at this. We choose four of the big NFL games a week,
four.
And then a college game for a total of five each week. For me, in the pros, I'm going to go with, I said earlier in the week, so there's no real drama here. I would be picking the Bills, and I am picking the Bills. They're getting 2.5 now at the Jets, and I'm going to ride or die with the Bills on Sunday. I'm not, like, uber confident about this, but my approach to this season has been it's time for you to be good. And I'm not 100% sold that they're going to be, but it feels like it should be time for them to be good. It's Sean McDermott's third year. It's Josh Allen's second year. You spent all your money. You did all your stuff. Okay, well, go beat the Jets and see if you can get off to the races here. You need a good start, and a road win at the Jets would be a real nice place to start that. Not a great place, but I think a real respectable start. So,
very, very exciting if they win this game decisively or even at all. But it would be very cool, you know? Just,
yeah.
Okay.
So
I don't have to worry about them for now.
Right.
Do you like Buffalo minus 2.5?
They're getting 2.5.
I'm sorry. That's what I meant.
Right. Next, I'll take the Ravens minus 6.5 at the Dolphins. I feel a little like I'm walking into a trap there because, you know, every year there's a team here that you hear all offseason about how they're dismantling their team and they're going to be terrible. This was the Jets 2 years ago. And that is absolutely the Dolphins this year. And I think they've gone farther than anyone has ever gone in this area. But all the same, Ravens on the road, it's a big number, but Baltimore, I think, is a pretty quality team. They're in the playoffs last year. I think they'll be slugging it out for a wild card spot, if not that division even. So I'll roll with them minus 6.5. I just they should just outclass Miami, maybe all over the field.
Bulldog, I'm sorry I have to interrupt you. I have to correct something I said earlier.
Mm.
The Bills are plus 2.5.
Mike, that's really, really gracious of you to admit that you were wrong about what that spread was. Good.
I always will. I always will.
Here, let me put it this way. Good on you.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I appreciate you acknowledging that.
I will take the Chiefs minus 3.5 at the Jaguars. And I'm going to take the Steelers getting 6 at New England. I'm big on Pittsburgh. I'm not betting them to win the division, but that they're my pick. I think they will win that division. No Bell, no Brown. Still a lot of talent there. Quarterback threw for 5,000 yards last year. I don't know. Is he slowing down? I'll take the Steelers getting the 6 at New England. And for a college game, it's fun. I have not really read up on what's going on in college, who's, you know, I looked through and just looked. I looked for the most absurd point spreads I could find. And one of them was UB.
30.5.
At Penn State. Like, that was a tough-looking number. But I didn't go there because of the existence of this one. Alabama hosting New Mexico State. Minus 55. Wait for it. And a half.
Sure.
55. Like, that half. Never in the history of gambling lines has a half point been more hilarious to me than Alabama minus 55.5.
It's good.
You just couldn't get to 56, 55 wasn't enough. I need a half there.
Now, you know what? I don't know what side you're on, but I think the half means they're begging you to take New Mexico State.
Okay.
Because 56 is divisible by 7.
Yeah.
So 56 to nothing is what you would need, or do I have it backwards? If I do, I'll correct it.
I am on the Alabama side.
They're begging you to take Alabama.
Yeah.
Because 56 is divisible by 7.
Yeah.
So 56 to nothing.
Right.
It's like when it's 6.5, they want you on the favorite.
Right.
That's what I meant. Let me correct something from earlier. They're begging you to take Alabama, which you're doing.
Wow. That would, again, good on you. Yeah, I'm taking Alabama. 55 and a half.
So that game is going to end 56 to nothing.
It's just beautiful. I just love it so much.
I want you to. What time is that game? Afternoon?
Yeah, late afternoon.
Follow that game. They're probably at home.
Yes, it is a game in Alabama.
New Mexico State's making a couple $1 million for the privilege of
getting
losing to them.
Rampled.
Follow that game and text me if they miss an extra point. Because that would be really funny. And they'll be too far ahead to go for two. They wouldn't do that.
Right, right.
So they could win 55 zip.
All right. So there you go. There's the picks for you, kids. Just to repeat, Bills over the Jets getting 2.5. Ravens minus 6.5 at the Dolphins. I'm repeating these because I know people are writing them down. Steelers getting 6 at New England. Chiefs minus 3.5 at the Jaguars. So I've got all road teams in the NFL. And then Bama minus the hilarious 55.5 hosting New Mexico State. Over to you.
Your college game spread is 55.5. Mine is 0.
Mm, wow.
And
pick
the room comes to a halt there. Arkansas State at UNLV tomorrow night at 10. I think it's funny that at Bet Online right now, the game is what they call circled, which means there's a limit on how much you can bet. Like, what would that limit be that seems reasonable? I know the number. What do you think the Bet Online limit right now is on how much you can bet on tomorrow night's Arkansas State UNLV game? The maximum.
Well, that's a tough question to ask me. I don't pay attention enough to this stuff to know what a normal number in that realm would be, but I'll say $10,000.
Okay. Imagine you want to bet this game, but then you find out you can't bet as much as you want because it's circled. That would be frustrating. $3,000.
Mm.
Come on, though. Isn't that kind of funny? Like,
yeah,
we will not let you bet more than $3,000 on a game between Arkansas State and UNLV. I know there are people that bet a lot more than that. That's the reason for it. But imagine wanting to put $4,000 on that football game and being told, no. Someone else should take your action.
Yes.
A road team you've never heard of, Arkansas State at UNLV. It's a pick game. They're getting some respect here. I think I want to give it to them. Arkansas State wins it on the road in Vegas. Some people will say they won't be able to concentrate because they're in Vegas and they're young men. You know when they'll say that? After they lose. When they won't say that? After they win. I've taken them to win this game. And I think I've already talked everybody listening into it.
Oh, yeah. Which game is this again?
Arkansas State at UNLV. I'll take Indianapolis plus 6.5 at the Chargers. The Chargers have some problems. I don't know if I want to consider Melvin Gordon one. But there's a few things I don't like about them. I don't like the Derwin James injury.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the way everybody's talking about their offensive line being, like, really shaky. I don't really like Anthony Lynn. That playoff loss was a terrible day for him or with me, like, if not a lot of people. To have the team that good, they win in Baltimore, okay, that's a good job. They go to New England and just lay down flat.
Yeah.
Just, come on, what are you doing? You won all those games, you had a good team, everybody liked you, you got the point spread down to 3 at the Patriots in the playoffs and then just did not show up. And, you know, I'm not really betting on Rivers. I do like Mike Williams and I do like Hunter Henry in that offense, but he's getting up there. I can see the Chargers getting to like an 8-8 season or something below. The over-under is 10 on them. You got to have 11-5
yeah.
to win that bet. I'm against it. So Indy plus 6.5. I like the idea of Brissett. Maybe that turns out all right for them. He's not going to be luck, but he could be good. Pretty good. Good enough. I'll take the Patriots minus 6 because Ross Tucker said, listen, here's what you do. Never bet against them. I kind of expect that game to look like last night's, where both teams are shaky, the veteran quarterbacks, the lack of action in the preseason, the changes with Pittsburgh, and even New England. But New England, out of nowhere, has ended up with a decent-looking passing arsenal because of Josh Gordon. And they also have this Jacoby Myers, who won a job kind of out of nowhere as Edelman's backup. Maybe he gets some time in this game. I'm not picking them because of Jacoby Myers or even because of Ross Tucker. But really, I'm picking them because I don't like the Steeler idea of yours at all. I don't like Tomlin very much. I think, you know, maybe they're just a little bit too full of themselves because Antonio Brown had frostbite. They're probably pretty happy about that. So I'll take the Patriots. And I have to pick two more? That's how we do this?
I think that's how that goes. You're only up to three games so far, yeah.
I'll take the Jets.
Okay. Killjoy.
That's probably the better team, right? -2.5 at home. The money is toward Buffalo, so.
I have all offseason, I have not really been able to get behind the Jets being placed ahead of the Bills. I think it's mostly because Darnold was a more favorable pick than Allen and has fewer critics. He has his critics, I'm sure, and deservedly so. But I don't know. I think these teams are like a dead heat. So I don't know. I would balk at they're the better team. I don't think so. I think they're pretty even.
And I'll take Seattle -9.5 at home against the Bengals. The Bengals have a lot of problems. And offensive line, Cordy Glenn is hurt. Does that sound familiar? They've got injuries up there. They've got the A.J. Green injury, which we've known about. And defensively, they look to be in trouble. Seattle, it's kind of a big number, but Seattle has gotten a lot of respect. They get a lot of respect. They love this Carson at running back. Wilson is great. I mean, Wilson is great. And now they have Jadeveon Clowney. And if you're a team with injuries at tackle and you're going against that guy and they have just a good defensive front, the secondary is brand new and maybe messy, I could see this game being like 40-20 for Seattle.
Yeah.
And the total is 45. I might like Seattle to score a ton and Cincinnati to make a couple plays. Tyler Boyd. I like Tyler Boyd in fantasy this year a lot, you know, for the price. So the Seahawks -9.5, to me, that's my survivor pick for week one as well.
All righty. Picks.
There it is. Picks. All these years, and we're starting over.
Yep.
Jeff Erickson from RotoWire will tell you what his thoughts are on the upcoming fantasy season and even some specific thoughts on this weekend's games. Then hockey. I know. Sabres Devils prospects tonight following our show. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Mike Schoep.
I have these notes, but I gotta say I'm just fired up to be here today.
And the Bulldog.
Pretty cool. Pretty damn cool.
Woo! On WGR.
Come on! Get up! Come on, get up if you're as psyched as I am.
Sports Radio 550.
All right, Football Friday, Bills and Jets on Sunday. Football Friday on WGR brought to you by Seneca Casino. Seneca Niagara, the official casino of the Buffalo Bills. Here we go, 2019.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills on a playoff drought of 1 year.
Right.
Trying to turn that around. Joining us now on the West Her Hotline is Jeff Erickson, senior editor at RotoWire. You can follow Jeff on Twitter as I do, and you do, Bulldog, I think.
Mm-hmm.
At Jeff_Erickson. Jeff, been a long time. Great to have you back on.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. So it just seems like you cannot even rest for a minute as the season comes here with all the news. Of course, Antonio Brown. And this, not quite equally big, but I just saw it, and it's going to matter to some people, maybe even you and I, Michael Badgley, Jeff. The Chargers kicker hurt a groin in practice today. So, like, I don't know. I mean, to do well at this, what do you say about this? To do well at this, how to what extent do you have to just be, like, all over it?
Oh, I mean, constantly. And the thing is, I do, you know, where I rank the players every week, a column called the Value Meter, and I update it three times during the week, and that hasn't been enough this week. Every day, Antonio Brown changes. Like, I was on the golf course this morning, and, you know, God forbid I do that, because then his status changes twice. Now I have to change it from my phone and all that. I'm just like, got to give people the right advice. Yeah, he's playing now, apparently. Probably. Maybe. We'll see. You know, it's
right. There's still a few days here. I mean, he could still do. Who knows? Are they traveling? He could do something stupid here. I mean, there's every opportunity for him to still blow up.
Absolutely. And don't you wish Hard Knocks was still there so we could have seen it all? I mean, that would have been the most compelling thing about it, probably. But and it doesn't help that it's the last game and a double Monday night slate too. So, you know, we have no recourse if things go wrong. But yeah, now I have to, like, back down Tyrell Williams. I have to back down Darren Waller a little bit. Hunter Renfrow, not to be confused with the baseball player with a different spelling. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we have to, you know, downgrade those guys. But you know what? Hey, that's football, you know, and sports too. I mean, just things happen like that in a rapid pace. Badgley does affect me. I have him in probably three or four leagues out of my 12. Because if I waited on a kicker, he's almost always there, and I thought he's a solid kicker on a good team. So, and with good weather to boot. So, you know, that's a guy I typically end up with.
With kickers, they can just put them on IR if they want to. Like, we've seen that happen, so you got to be really careful there.
Well, there's got to be a lot of relief. The Raiders are at home, by the way. They're not traveling. But there's got to be a lot of relief for people that this guy is going to play, at least to start off here, if you drafted him where he warranted being drafted before all this happened. We had our draft last night, and he went 72nd. Somebody probably feels pretty good about that. But at the same time, might you sort of be now, with all that has happened, sort of bracing for something else? So, I don't know. We a caller called up early in our show today and asked us, what do you do with him now? And my thought was, ride him for a couple of weeks, and if it's okay for a couple of weeks and his value is really high, then trade him, because it's maybe only a matter of time before he blows up again.
Sure, although I think everybody's going to kind of be on the lookout. But if he blows up in a good way on Monday night, well, that the whole narrative's going to change. And, you know, all's well. It'll be like Zeke Elliott, you know. It'll go from Zeke who to selling T-shirts saying Zeke who, that's who, you know, things of that nature. The news cycle changes in a hurry there. And, you know, the thing is, I have no shares of Antonio Brown because I didn't like how he wasn't getting any reps with the new offense, and he's got an inferior quarterback. So where he deserved to be drafted is also up for debate also. It's a little bit of a black box.
Another thing that sends people moving in their leagues is whatever happens in the first game. And we had the first game last night, which was 10-3. The Bears offense, the Bears quarterback really struggled, although Robinson, I think, looked really good. We'd probably all say that. And Aaron Jones really didn't work out. Devontae Adams even really didn't work out. Rare for him going back to last year to have a game so tame. So what would your attitude be, not just about those two teams and those players, Jeff, but just in general? Like, do you have to guard against overreacting to the opener?
Absolutely. I mean, we always talk about, hey, don't overreact to the preseason. Well, when a team don't play their starters at all in the preseason anymore, don't overreact to week one or week two even. It was sloppy last year, too. If you guys remember, I think the first couple of games were just penalty-filled fests, all over the place. And we saw that last night with the Bears. They went from first and 10 to first and 40. Yeah. It was unwatchable football. It was really terrible. And the Bears didn't play any of their starters, really, in the preseason. Montgomery played a little bit, but we didn't see much of Trubisky. We didn't see much of the offense as a whole. You look at the Rams, they don't play any but their starters in the preseason anymore. That's now the new normal. It used to be that the third preseason game was the one that mattered. You'd see your starters play a half a game. Now it's like a series or two if you're lucky.
Right.
Steelers played their starters a little bit more, I remember. The Niners did, but it's the standouts of who did, not who didn't.
I heard some chatter, and maybe this was generated from the broadcast. I think maybe Chris Collinsworth said something about the preseason, making this point about how nobody plays anymore, and that's why this game is so bad. I mean, like, let's see. It's one game. The Bears do have a really good defense. We don't know what the Packers are yet. They did add a lot of bodies there, so maybe it just was a situation where you had, you know, overmatched, you know, offenses. Even as crazy as that may sound, considering that Aaron Rodgers was one of the quarterbacks, let's like see what this weekend brings before like I start thinking about teams overhauling how they're handling the preseason.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right about that. And you make a great point about the Bears defense being, I mean, they were the first fantasy defense drafted in all of our leagues this year. There's a reason why, you know, Rodgers looked bad, especially he's breaking in a new offense. You know, they had an unlucky break because of the game in Winnipeg where the turf was unplayable. So like 35 guys that were going to play didn't play, including Rodgers. You know, you're trying to break in a new head coach, new coordinator, new offense. You know, it's of course you're going to have some growing pains, and when you don't get a chance to work it out against live competition, it's going to show in the results a little bit.
You know, Jeff, you've been on the show before. We've interacted a few times, and I think ever since we started doing that, I've said the same thing to you, or would have said the same thing to you, which is, for all the fantasy football content I consume, it's just sort of, this is not a complaint at all. Sort of, you know, it stands out to me how I almost never hear about the Bills. I mean, it's like there's just relatively so little that's been of interest to the fantasy community about the Bills, you know, especially when compared to like the Kansas Cities and teams like that.
Sure.
So here we are going into 2019, and there's some optimism here. Not you know, fantasy as much. I'm shifting over to the real thing a little bit. There's optimism here about them that they might be improved, maybe even a winning team. And so, like, when you think about them as a football fan, do you sort of see that and get that? And then from a fantasy standpoint, what might you want to do with them?
So I think they've got a lot of guys that are intriguing, but we don't know quite what their role is going to be. Let's look at running back. You know, Frank Gore is nominally listed on top of the depth chart, but I think everyone's drafting Devin Singletary first. No one really wants to have to start Frank Gore in a fantasy league. TJ Eldon's actually got some interest in a PPR league. He's a pretty good pass-catching back. But I get the idea that, you know, I don't know how many reps he's going to get. You look at the receiving core, there's four guys that could be interesting. You know, the one that had the biggest plays last year is, you know, Robert Foster. He's not really one of the top three, though, right now, because of the way they've adjusted their roster. Now, it might play out differently. All it takes is one big play to change things a little bit there, or one injury. But, you know, is it going to be Zay Jones? Is it going to be Beasley? Is it going to be Foster? You know, that's the thing. I think that there's going to be value there, but I think we're having a hard time pinpointing who's going to provide it.
Mm-hmm. If you had to pick one of those guys, would you pick Beasley just for volume? Would it be Brown because of big plays? Foster, you mentioned.
John Brown.
John Brown would be your guy? Yeah.
Yeah, that John Brown's a guy I've been drafting. He's like usually my wide receiver four. And, you know, so I'm using him as a flex right now. Or maybe, you know, in shallower leagues, he's my first guy off the bench. But, you know, I like his upside. I just hope he stays healthy. And I hope Josh Allen can read defenses enough to take advantage of him.
We're talking fantasy with Jeff Erickson, senior editor of RotoWire. We'll have more next. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Welcome back. Happy Friday. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, talking with Jeff Erickson of RotoWire. A lot of the talk this summer in fantasy has been about quarterbacks who can run. And that's, of course, Lamar Jackson. And it's now Kyler Murray. And it's also Josh Allen, who had 8 rushing touchdowns, a huge number for a quarterback last season, and not even through a full schedule. What do you think of when you look at this statistic? And I know that for most guys, it varies depending on whether it was more by design or more just, you know, kind of scrambles. But when you see Allen in that rushing, is that a reason for you to like him?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially in leagues where you only get, like, you know, 3 or 4 points for a passing touchdown, or you get a point for every 25 or 30 yards passing instead of 20. You know, a lot of different variations in how we play the game. I play in a couple of super flex leagues, which means you start 2 quarterbacks. You know, of course, he has a little bit more value there, too. And, hey, let's face it, there's a couple weeks where he was, if not the top fantasy quarterback, he was in the top 3 for the week because of those rushing touchdowns. You can throw Marcus Mariota in that. Of course, Cam Newton's the GOAT as far as that goes.
Right.
You know, there's There's a lot of good rushing quarterbacks this year. I think everyone's curious to see how much running Kyler Murray is going to do and how much of that's for his life, let alone for gain. We'll see. I mean, the thing about him is they didn't run their base offense yet in the preseason. They did some 11 formations. They even did some, two tight end formations. They didn't really do the zero tight ends, four wides, like they are supposed to do in the air raid. At least that's the traditional, Texas Tech air raid offense. How much of that are they really going to bring over to the NFL? I don't know, but that's a storyline I'm really interested in following on Sunday.
I know Mike Clay. When Mike was on with us about a month ago, maybe closer to 2 months ago, he referenced how he had done projections and had shown Kyler Murray. They were together, and he'd shown Kyler Murray what his projections were and whatever the rushing number was that Clay had for Murray. He showed it to Murray, and Murray said to Clay, way higher than that. So I don't know to what extent Mike moved his number, but Murray told him whatever he thought was coming was just way too low for what Murray thought was coming in terms of his running the ball.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm in on him. I want to think that the game has changed to an extent that a rookie who's not even 6 feet tall on a terrible team can go in and do all right, do enough to sustain like you're having them in fantasy. But I don't know, Jeff. I'm also somebody who's really quick to those kinds of opinions, and I can get caught.
Sure, of course. And, it's a little bit of a divide in the NFL right now. There's the, that'll never work in the NFL crowd. This is not the Big 12. Okay,
yeah.
Fair point. It's
right.
True. A lot of teams are doing three wides, four wides a lot now. You look at the seasons that the Chiefs and Rams had last year, and the Pats did throttle them, especially the Rams in the Super Bowl. But that's not anybody else has been able to emulate the Pats for the last 10 years either. So I'm not necessarily sure that's going to carry over, that everybody else is going to be able to stop those offenses all of a sudden now too. In the case of the Chiefs, they didn't really necessarily stop them. They just kept the ball away from them for a long time. I'm really intrigued to see how this works out. I'm worried about the offensive line for Arizona. That's the one thing that is a problem, I think, they was considered a substandard offensive line to begin with. They didn't do much to improve that. You want to protect your asset. I have visions of RG3 in my head, and that's, mm-hmm. I do worry about that, where he was amazing in his rookie year until he got hurt, and then he came back too soon, and he was permanently damaged, all that. That does worry me just a little bit, that could happen to him. But, let's see it. Let's have some fun.
Yeah, while we're on this subject, the Ravens and Jackson, he outrushed Allen last year from the quarterback position, and the vast majority of those yards were on designed runs, whereas Allen was mostly on scrambles. It was a very small percentage of his rushing yards came on plays that were designed runs, at least called runs, where the Ravens really did a lot of that, and they're talking like they're going to continue that this year. And I'm wondering if you think any of that is just misleading. How about his potential to evolve as a passer, Jackson? Do you see that?
Yeah, I do see it a little bit. I think one of the things we saw this offseason is a new offensive coordinator, Greg Roman, came in. They designed an offense around Jackson as opposed to kind of the ad hoc one-by-week revision that they had made when Flacco got hurt last year. Under Marty Morningwake, and I think that's a big issue there too. You have an offense that's more tailored to the skills of the quarterback. I think that will help a little bit there. But you're right. I mean, he did have a lot of design runs, and I think that will continue to a certain extent. But I think they'll be a little bit more creative in that aspect. I think the last taste we have of Lamar Jackson in a game that mattered was the playoff game against the Chargers, and that was hideous. And the accuracy is going to be his issue. That's going to be the critical linchpin. But, I do represent RotoWire, and I think every single person on RotoWire loves Lamar Jackson this year. So I'll be right there, too. I have a couple shares in my league.
It doesn't surprise me to hear you say that as a reader. With Jeff Erickson, at Jeff_Erickson, Erickson, Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR. Let's talk about this week. So I don't know if you're a DFS player or not, actually. Maybe you dabble or what?
I dabble.
Okay.
That's all I do is I dabble. It's a bandwidth issue. Just don't have enough time to do it right.
All right, I'll just put this – I'll leave this open-ended so you can take it however you want to do so. Just like this week, plays you like in whatever sense, season-long, daily. What comes to mind for this week that you're excited about?
No, man, you got to like the Lions on the road against Arizona, just because Arizona's secondary is depleted. You know, no Patrick Peterson for the first 6 weeks. The guys they have in his stead don't really frighten me all that much. So I do like Kenny Golladay and Marvin Jones a lot. And I have a lot of Golladay in my teams. I think in my season-long leagues, I think I have four or five shares of them. And just missed out on a couple others where I would have taken them too. So I'm a fan for sure. Other things that I like this week, I think that the game between the Bucs and the Niners has shootout potential. I think both of those defenses are a little on the lower side of the spectrum. I think you can attack both of them a little bit. So I actually think, all the hype has been on Chris Godwin. He's a helium guy already to begin with, but I think in week one, that's going to continue. Love Mike Evans this week, of course. Of course you're going to be paying up to get both of those guys, but I think that if you want to start something with them, that's a good starting point.
Starts the same old thing again. And tomorrow starts the same old thing again.
Gentlemen, be free.